Brother Mays Jackson. You pray while it comes to preach. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, dear pastor. All right. How many of you are glad you came? Praise God. If you don't get nothing else, you've already got three buckets loads full tonight. I like it like this. I'm glad that I got to come. I'm glad God let me come tonight. Praise God. Just get out a little deeper. And you know the water's fine. You ought to get in. Say amen. Praise God. You'll not find any better around here. And all you got to do is get in. And it's a real blessing. And I praise the Lord for it. Choir did, as usual, a great job. Then the trio. Wasn't that good tonight? God is like Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's finger-licking good. Say amen. Wonderful, wonderful. I appreciate the blessings of this church. I do. I appreciate the church. And believe in old-time religion and shouting right on. You go in some, brother, and you freeze up before they ever sing the doxology. Say amen. Bless God, you come in here if you freeze up. My friend, you're going to have to bring your air conditioning system with you. Amen. It's good around here, and I praise the Lord for it. And I praise the Lord for you being here tonight. And I thank you. I don't ever say anything about the broadcast. I never mention it in a meeting. I just never mention anything unless I'm here on Sunday. But I do want to thank you for what you did. And I want to tell you that we don't buy tapes with that money. We don't buy gasoline with that money. We have that money for the truck stations that are getting the word out to those truckers way out yonder, all the way from KFIA, Los Angeles, right over here. And all night long, somewhere while you're sleeping tonight, we'll be preaching. Praise God, that's good. Amen. So I appreciate that. Now we're facing a little dilemma, and I talked to our agent three times today in Cincinnati. We thought we were going to have to cut our broadcast all of them down to 15 minutes. And I just want you to pray about it. That's all I ask you to do is pray. If it's 15 minutes, you don't get much preaching. Now, I believe that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. As far as I know, and I'm not here to boast and brag, we have the only broadcast from coast to coast that on a 30-minute program, you heard 25 minutes of preaching. I tell my man in Atlanta, I said, bless God, not 24 minutes. I want 25 minutes of preaching. That's the reason a lot of times when it gets interesting, they cut it off right there where you say, well, brother, you heard 25 minutes of preaching. I don't mean praying. I don't mean announcements. I mean 25 minutes of preaching. And certainly we want to stay on long enough to get the word of God out. That's what's going to count after all. The bottom line is the word of God. So I do want you to really pray about it. And I believe God will bless you. Now take your Bible and turn with me to Genesis chapter 37. While you're turning, let me make this announcement. Tomorrow night, I cannot believe that since Sunday, time has passed like it has in the meeting. But tomorrow night will be the final night of the meeting. And I hope you'll be able to come. I tried to bring you different type messages. I don't criticize evangelists or preachers that preach the same type all the time. I don't want to preach on heaven every night. There's a hell once in a while we ought to meet them. Amen. And every night I've tried to bring you a different type of message. If you were with us last night, I said my mother, a little mountain lady that lived up here 40 miles up the road, had a hard time with a verse of scripture, and I'm going to preach on it in a moment. But tomorrow night, I'm going to speak on the Battle of Armageddon. When will it happen? The place. Where will it be fought? And many things that you've thought about. And I know how it's coming out. That's what's good about it. Thank God. I've read the last chapter. Amen. It'll pay us to read the last chapter. I remember when I was a little boy up here in Hendersonville, I used to read some of those novels and things, and then I'd get so excited about halfway through, I couldn't find out whether it's going to get out of that burning house and the Indians are going to kill them. So I'd go here to the last chapter, and I'd read it, praise God, and that would tell me that they got out all right and the Indians happy ever after. Now, if you'll do this, if you'll study this book, you'll find out it started right, in the beginning God, and it ends right, even so completely, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now bless God, and I'm glad it starts right. I'm glad it ends right, and I'm glad it's right all the way through the Bible. So what a blessing. I hope you'll be here tomorrow night, and we'll talk a little. Of course, I have preached three sermons on the present crises in the Middle East. And beloved, it's got to all happen over in the Middle East. That's where it started, that's where it's going to wind up. And tomorrow night, I'll speak on the last message of that series entitled, The Battle of Armageddon. So I hope you'll bring your Bible and come. But tonight, in the New Testament, don't turn now, I'm just going to quote you a verse of Scripture. Right in the middle of one of the great chapters in the Bible, Romans chapter 8. Paul stopped and said to that church at Rome, and, so I want to put that conjunction in, and we know, not hope so, maybe so, probably so, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are be called according to his purpose. And my mother couldn't, a lot of times she'd say, this thing's come here to the house. This has come upon us. How could this be? All things work together for good. Now one time I had Dr. Ironside, Harry Ironside in our church, because I believe he ought to teach the Bible as well, exhort it. And I had old Dr. Ironside, he couldn't hardly see. But he told an illustration I'll never forget. He said, everything works together for good to those that love God and be called according to his purpose. Now he said, it worketh. It's working now. And when the end comes, it'll come out all right. And then we'll get what old Dr. Ironside said, my wife makes good bread. Said, first she gets some flour, and if you just reach down your finger and taste flour, it's terrible. And then, said, she would put a little shortening in it, and if you just reach down and get a little shortening, it's terrible. And then she'll put some milk in it, and he talked about salt, and said, if you take them individually, you'll choke to death. But if you let my wife, he said, get her hands in that and begin to work it. And after a while, she had it all worked up. And she put it in the oven. And after the baking of that cake or the baking of that bread, said, you can take it out and it's the finished product. And all of that tastes good. You don't taste the flour. You don't taste the shortening. You taste, bless God, the cake. And beloved, everything in your life, if two things are true, and I'll tell you about those in just a moment, if two things are true, everything in your life, you hear me, works together for good. Working together for good. Amen. All right, look in your Bible. Genesis chapter 37. There's a man, by the way, he's 17 years old here. Man, I like that. 17 years old here, chapter 37. His name was Joseph. And Joseph had things to work together for good, all things. Let me give you something about Joseph. Author W. Pink says he's a type of Christ. In the book of Genesis, 118 times, he's just like the Lord. Let me give you something else. Joseph never complained one time. How would you like to pastor a church preacher that never had one person to complain? Lord God, wouldn't that be good? And did you know he never asked for help but one time? Joseph never, and I'll give you that in the message tonight, he never asked for help but one time. And then they didn't give it to him. They didn't fuss, didn't complain, didn't accuse God. So with that in mind, he's 17 years old, he's at home, and I want you to stay with me all over the house, and we're going to read the scripture, and then I'm going to bring you the message tonight on all things. Work together for good. All things. And that means when you're sick, it's working together for good. That means when you're down, that means when you're up, that means when it's good, that means when it's bad. Bless God, that means whatever comes, whatever goes. All things work together for good to those that love God and are be called. Look at verse 23 of chapter 37 in the book of Genesis. By the way, look this way in a minute. One third of the book of Genesis is written about the life of Joseph. Think about that. You know how many chapters in the book of Genesis? 50. And one third of the book of Genesis has to do with the life of Joseph. Somebody said, boy, he was popular, wasn't he? Well, he wasn't popular except with the Lord. Amen? You get that down. And Joseph, one third of the book of Genesis written about him. And I like that. Now look with me if you have your Bible. The Bible said in verse 23, chapter 37, it came to pass when Joseph was come to unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they set him to eat bread. I noticed. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spices and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down into Egypt. And Judah said to his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his sad words, and his brethren were content. They didn't care what happened to him. Their own flesh, their own blood, they didn't care what happened to him. And the Bible said they were content. They didn't care about him. Let me give you one thing, and then I'm going to let you be seated, and I'm going to preach. When our families cared one for another, we got along better in this country. You will be surprised that under the roofs of the community right here, the families that are separated under the roof. And the Bible said that they couldn't even speak to Joseph. I mean, it got so bad they wouldn't even say, how do you do, Joseph? Got so bad they couldn't even talk to Joseph. But in a moment, I'll show you all things. I want you to be seated all the house, if you will. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to pray and then get right into the message. Our Father, I thank you tonight for every blessing you blessed us with. I thank you for this meeting and for the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord God, it'd be nothing if he, the Spirit of God, didn't take over in the singing. If he, the Holy Ghost, didn't take over in the preaching. And I thank you that this church is a church that believes that we worship in spirit and in truth. Oh God, we've got so many that just worship in spirit and they become fanatical. We got some that just worship in truth, and they dry up. But how refreshing it is to come in to this church and worship in spirit and in truth. Oh, thank God for the blessings. I'm glad we met to worship. I'm glad we met to see the Lord. I'm glad we met to hear from heaven. I'm glad we met to fellowship one with another. I'm glad we met to see somebody saved. I'm glad we met to see the saints of God strengthened, that they might fall afresh in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for every blessing of the life of Joseph. Oh, thank you for a man like Joseph, and he could say, and we know all things. Lord, there are not many of us that could stand up tonight and truthfully say, and I know that all things, that I pray, our Father, you bless us in the preaching of the Word of God tonight. Save that one here that's lost. And oh God, bless your people and bless this body of believers and bless these preachers that have come and everyone that's under this roof. Have your way in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Beloved, look this way. And I'm going to speak to you tonight on all things. And my mother used to say to me, Mays, how did that tragedy work to be good? She said, I've shed tears. I can't have faith like I ought to have. And she'd look at this verse of scripture and she'd say, how? I say, Mother, I don't know how. I just know what it says. Hallelujah. But I found out why Joseph could say it was in his life. He said, and I'm in the place of God. When he is in the pit, he is in the place of God. When he was in prison, he was in the place of God. When he is in the palace, he is in the place of God. If you can say that tonight, bless your heart. You can say, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are be called. Now let's take those two things quickly by way of introduction. He said you got to love God. I know a lot of people and they say, oh, I love Jesus. But I wonder, do we really love him? How much do we love God, beloved? In John 21, Jesus turned and said, do you love me more than these, Simon Peter? He's checking his love. I'll tell you, every once in a while, I believe God looks down on this church, down on the people here, and say, do you love me? How much do you love the Lord? And he said, thou knowest that I love thee. I want Jesus to know that I love him. Thank God. I want Jesus to know that I love him. And then secondly said, and be called according to his purpose. It's good to know that be called according to his purpose. The Bible says in Matthew 22 and verse 14, many are called and few are chosen. I like that chosen bunch. Thank God. I like that bunch. Praise the Lord. That are be called according to his purpose. There's a little girl years ago and she was in a modern church and very cold. And she got up in Bible school in the commencement, and she's going to quote Matthew 22 and verse 14, and it says, many are called and few are chosen. And she got mixed up and said, most of you are cold and half of you are frozen. Praise God. And let me say to you tonight, mister, the Holy Ghost is the one that can warm us. The Holy Ghost is the one that can bless us. The Spirit of God can give us the atmosphere that we know that we are be called according to his purpose. And Joseph was all things in the life of Joseph. Everything that happened to Joseph, the things, plural, not the thing, but the things. Now I want to mention five things in the life of Joseph that proved that Joseph could say all things. Number one, he had family things. I mean, at 17 years old, his family, listen what the book says, chapter 37, verse 4, they hated him. And verse 11, the Bible said they envied him. And verse 14, the Bible says, and they conspired against him. Mister, let me tell you something. He had family trouble. If you've got an old-fashioned Christian home tonight, where the Bible is read, and where the altar, brother, you have it, you better get down on your knees. Thank God that Jesus lives at your house. Thank God that the Spirit of God has given you a family. I was telling them about a preacher's wife down in Georgia, and I'm sorry for that preacher. My, how he has to live. Oh, he told me many times, he said, in the summer I sleep in the swing at night, and I have to get up on Sunday morning and go to my pulpit and preach. There's so much hell, he said, in my home. I can't sleep in my house. Boy, I'll tell you, if your home is a haven of rest, if you have a home where the mother and the wife loves God and those children are trained in the way of the Lord, I want to tell you, if you have a family that can say yes for me and my house will serve God, I don't know of anything better. And the Bible said they conspired against Joseph. You know what that means? They were jealous of him. And they misunderstood him. And they were jealous for three reasons. That family was, number one, the brethren. He just devoted himself to God. Boy, if you're a little girl, you're a little boy, if devoted to God, you better thank God for them. I remember I was in an old cold church, a little boy would come down every night after the service. He'd stand there, crack his hands, and jump up and down. One old dignified lady in that church walked down and said to me, aren't you worried about him? I said, no, this dead outfit out here is worrying me. But praise God, he's devoted to the Lord. Mister, that didn't bother me. I want you to know they were jealous of his devotion. Number two, they were jealous of his dress. Write that down, mister. Oh, some of your own family, after you got saved, got in the church and got the tithing, and God got the blessing you, they got jealous of you. Oh, where you used to go out and spend your money on liquor and spend your money in the hell holes of this world, God saved you and cleaned you up, put you in the house of God, started living right and paying your tithes,
And boy, God gave you so much more than you had before. I want to tell you, bless God, you can shout the victory and you can praise God. But I want you to know there'll be jealousy of your dress. Oh, you dress a little too fancy. You dress better than you used to. I want to tell you, they were jealous of the coat of many colors. God's man had a coat of many colors, and they became jealous of his dress. I remember when I was down in Columbia, it's in 1949, I went down and bought a brand new Buick. It's called a Special. I don't know how long they built those Buick Specials. I drove up on Sunday morning out of our church, Gainesville. We had the second oldest church in that association or county. First Baptist Church in Columbia is the only church older than the church I'm pastoring. Now hear me. And I got me a new Buick, and I pulled up in the yard, and I heard him saying, kick. Bless God, I got up that morning, and I said, I want to tell you folks something. I got so much more than I had before, and I want you to know, bless God, that I'm going to drive it. And they got to chirping again. You know what I did? Mr. Wall, W-A-L-L, on the car lot, he had an old T model Ford, and the fenders were off of it, and the windows was knocked out of it. And I went down there and gave him $75 and told him to sell that new Buick. And next Sunday morning, me and my wife went to church, and we said, chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga. And bless God, that crowd ran out, and they were jealous because, we had the good car. Now they were ashamed. You've never seen such a whipped dog in your life. Father, they were ashamed. And I got up that Sunday morning, I said, I want to tell this church something. If I have a ride down Gervais Street tomorrow here in Columbia, and I see one of you members crossing the street, I'll say, ooh, and you wave, that's my preacher. God bless him, that pastor. I said, don't you hi-hat me in the morning. And I said, let me tell you, see, some of you die, I'll get in front of us, and I'll get in front there, and I'll lead that funeral procession before that hearse. And I said, let me tell you something, if this old Ford breaks down, then I'll let the undertaker push me to the cemetery. Bless God. I said, I hope you're satisfied. Are you listening, my friend? Oh, the body, the church body, like the brethren, will get jealous of you. They were jealous of his devotion. They were jealous of his dress. And then they were jealous of his dreams. A church that can't dream, mister, that means vision. A church that can't see no further than its nose is a dying church, brother. Put her down. I'm glad Joseph said, someday, boys, you're going to bow down in front of me. And they said, we don't like them kind of dreams. But I'm glad God was in his dreams. And God bless Joseph. But you see, the first of all things in his life, he had family things to put up with. And if you've got family trouble tonight, I'm not here to criticize you. I'm here to ask God to help you, that the husband and the wife and the children might get to the place of the home where you wouldn't have family trouble. It's bad enough out here in this ungodly world and all the trouble there is in the world. You have to come home to a family that's split and fighting and fussing and raising the devil. Listen to me, he had family things. Number two, he had foreign things. The Bible said in chapter 39, verse 1, and the Ishmaelites took him down into Egypt. They took him into a foreign country where the people were foreign, where the language was foreign. They took him down there where he was in a foreign land. He had to face foreign things. Now you hear me as a Christian. There'll be things that'll come in your life that'll be so strange. They'll be foreign to you. You won't be able to understand them. You won't be able to fathom them. You won't be able to explain them. Mister, there'll be foreign things. And Joseph had foreign things to put up with. Here he was, a little 17-year-old boy. And they led him, the Ishmaelites, got him out of that pit. And they bought him and they took him into Egypt. And there he was facing foreign things. I wish I could tell you you'd never have any strange experiences. I hear somebody say, why? How did it happen to me, Brother Mays? I don't know. It's fine. We're in a foreign country. But bless God, we'll understand it after a while. And you won't have to worry about it. That'll be a blessed time. It'll not be foreign one day. Let me give you two things about this foreigner. Number one, he's a slave. He took him down in Egypt and made a slave out of him. I don't have time to stay on this long, but I'm glad once I was a slave in Egypt's bondage, but the sweet Holy Ghost came and thank God let me out of my bondage and out of Egypt, and what a blessing, brother, it was. Now, there are two things about a slave. Write it down. He didn't have a name. Oh, they couldn't say that. They didn't have a name. They just looked and called him slave. I'm glad there's a new name written down in the Word. And bless God, it's mine. I'll tell you. And one day he'll call my name. And somebody said, are you going to answer? Yes, sir. And I'm going to say, when he calls my name, wait a minute. Let me get to the end of the line and call my new name again. I want everybody in heaven to know I'm here, praise God. And when he calls my name, I'm going to jump up and clap my hands and say I'm here, praise the Lord. What a blessing it is. But a slave had no name. Secondly, slave had no property and no money. Think about being in Egypt without a penny. I've been in Egypt many times. I'll tell you, it's a scary place. You leave your shoes outside and they shine your shoes at night, sit out there. You ever stick your head out the door there in Egypt and see one of those bandanas on one of them red, boy, it'll scare you to death. It's as bad as this thing over here. It's as bad as this thing over here, over here in the fellowship hall. About every 30 minutes, that ice thing over there drops about 25 pounds of ice. And it'll scare you even if it's daylight. I told him the other night that thing fell about 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, boom. I jumped up and said, devil, I'm sorry I ever said so many bad things about you. Oh, are you listening? As sure as you're here, Joseph had no money. Joseph was a slave, had no property in a foreign land. Listen to me. I want to tell you in a foreign place. Secondly, a slave was to be sold. Brother, they took that little boy, 17 years old, and stripped him and put him up there on that slave market stand. But I'm glad then the Holy Ghost got to work. Woo! Hallelujah. They started selling those slaves. And old Potiphar jumped up. He's the captain of the host over there in Pharaoh. And he said, I'll buy that slave. Little did Joseph know that he could look back one day and say, glory to God, I was bought by the chief of the captain of the guards of Pharaoh. I'll tell you something better than that. I was on that slave market stand, and the Lord Jesus Christ came down with the price, the wounds in his hand. Thank God he bought me off of that slave market. And he said, you're no more a slave. You're a son of God. And brother, I've been shouting ever since. And what a blessing it is to know God. And so, the old Potiphar took him home. Amen. He bought him. He bought him and took him home. So we see family things. Number two, we see foreign things. Number three, we see fleshly things. In that same chapter, chapter 39, little old Joseph was there one day by himself. And Potiphar's wife came in and said, my husband is gone. And you can come and lie with me. Nobody will ever know it. Old Joseph jumped up. All she got was his coat. Say amen right there. Bless God, she got a J.C. Penney coat at that. Amen. And he ran out of his coat and ran down, you know. And he said, I'll not sin this evil against my God. No, he said, I'll not do it. But there was a fleshly part. And when you got saved, your flesh did not get saved. It's not any more saved than the day you got saved. But one day when we drop this robe of flesh, praise the Lord to rise to meet the everlasting prize. Then, sir, I'll have a new body like unto his glorious body. And I won't have this robe of flesh. The Bible said in the flesh, there is no good thing. You can pamper the flesh. You can educate the flesh. You can do anything you want to in the flesh, and it's still evil. Put that down, mister. It's still evil. It'll lead you away from God. It'll lead you in the paths of unrighteousness. The flesh will cause you to turn on the Holy Ghost and God. The flesh is evil, and you put that down. It's evil. I was up at Cherokee once. Well, I was at Bryson City. I wasn't at Cherokee, 9 miles away. I came in to preach that night, and Brother Tom Harris said, it was two Indians down the reservation. I said, good, I'm glad to preach to Indians. But they didn't smile. They didn't say amen. I thought both of them were sitting bulls. That's what I thought they were. I looked down at those guys. I got through. They walked up and kind of shook my hand. So we're glad you. They kept coming. They said, you were here on the radio, Brother Mason. I said, God bless you. And Brother Tom said, they have the only native barbershop in Cherokee. They still have the only native barbershop in Cherokee. Next morning, I was down there, and I said, I need a hair trim. I believe I'll go in there and let that crow brother cut my hair. And I went in. He said, hello, Brother Moose. And I said, hey, how are you there, Chief? He said, I ain't no chief. He said, I'm just an Indian. But the other day, I was sitting in the steakhouse over there. A friend of mine owned it, and the chief walked in. And he said, the chief heard your broadcast, and he wants to meet you, Mace. And I said, that's an honor. I'd like to meet the chief. So he brings the chief of the tribe of Cherokee over there. And he said, this is Brother Mace, who's sitting at the table. And he said, you know, I hear your program. If you ever come to Cherokee and you want somebody to guide you, you call my office. He said, anything we have here is at your disposal, because you're a man of God. Oh, I said, no, I'm chief. He said, you ain't no chief. I said, yes, I am. I'm chief of sinners, but Jesus saved me. Glory to God. Oh, I said, he redeemed me by his precious blood, and what a blessing that is. You know what I did? I got up in that fellow's chair that day. His name's Crow. You go down there to Cherokee next time. You go down Main Street there. It's right across the street there. I sat down, and, oh, I felt uneasy. I looked back, and I said, Crow, are you going to scalp me? He said, yeah, you skipped me last night. It's turned around today, brother. I said, Lord, help me. Yeah. But listen to me. Are you listening to me? The flesh. Many years ago, there's an Indian chief up there got saved, they said. And he didn't get caught the word of God. They wasn't anybody to teach him 100 years ago. And they said that that chief didn't know what to do. He had trouble. And he said, when the missionary came back, the missionary said, how you been getting along since you've been saved, chief? He said, there's a dog over here and a dog over here, and they fight all the time. And the chief looked up and said, I don't know what to do about them fighting dogs in my case. Oh, the missionary said, one of them's the spirit and one of them's the flesh. He said, which one wins in your bosom? He said, the one I say seek them to, that's the one that does it. Now, if you say seek them to the flesh, bless God, the flesh will overdo the spirit. But if you'll just get back and let the Holy Ghost have his way, brother, you won't have anything to worry about that. And how blessed it is. Notice what Jesus said. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say to you, ye must be born again. I'm glad there's a new man on the inside, and one day this outer man, which is getting weaker all the time. My wife's real funny. I mean, she's quiet and funny. I told her, I said, honey, you wouldn't get a foot off the ground in the resurrection if it wasn't for the supernatural fire. Why, did you know, I believe I can jump 10 feet, bless God, flat-footed when the Lord comes. In the flesh, I believe I can jump that high. But my wife is hunky, and I have a little bad knee, and I'm here to advertise that, but I had that knee is killing me. And I called home, and I said, he said, oh, let me tell you about a good sermon I heard. Well, I said, tell me about it. I said, did you get the outline? You say, you don't get the, I get every one I can. Say, amen. I even preached old Billy Bryant's sermon the other day to a bunch of preachers, but she said, you know, it's the best sermon made. Said, that preacher said, we're bone to bone, husband and wife, flesh to flesh. And said, if your husband is not here tonight, half of you're with him, and half of him's with you. And she said, I got to thinking while he's preaching, half of me's up there with you, and half of you's down here. And she said, don't you make a joke out of it. I said, I'm not. But I said, which side of me did you get? I hope you get this old hurt knee side. Bless God, it's killing me. Amen. Listen to me. The flesh. Listen, we have fleshly things. And the flesh will lead you away from God. And the flesh will kill you, shout. And the flesh will have you out in the world. And the flesh will have you turning away from holy things. And he said, that old girl said, come lie with me. And he said, I can't do this evil against my God. He jumped up, and all she got was his coat. And so he said, first, all things, family things, foreign things, and then fleshly things he had to face. Number four, write this down. He had to face forgotten things. Have you ever been forgotten? Have you ever been forgotten? You know, next week is my birthday. And you know, say, why are you telling it? So you won't forget it. Say amen. That's God's will for you. Now listen, I can't even remember the birthdays in my own family. While they'll see me ask this week old, say, you forgot my birthday. But you know, the Bible says, Joseph, when he ran from that woman, and that woman screamed, rape! And they grabbed Joseph and said, buddy, you're going to prison. And as they let him into that prison, they let him in on a lie. He hadn't touched that woman. He hadn't sinned against his God. But there's always some lying women and lying men around. There's always some brother lying on you. They'll lie on this church, and they're glad to lie on God's man. Man called me here a while back and said, what do you think about this great preacher? And I said, I haven't prayed about it yet. Let me pray about it. I said, maybe I can get a hold of God and it'll help him. I said, I haven't prayed about it. You know what's our trouble, brother? We jump up and condemn a man before we know what's going on. Did you know that? Before we know that it's true or not true. And mister, that's a sad thing. When somebody comes and said, did you hear that? I heard that somebody else heard that so-and-so's not doing right. Mister, before you criticize, pray for him. Oh, what a blessing it is to pray for him. Somebody around you. Somebody around this church. I'm going to give you something now. Listen to me. I didn't know I was going to say this week, but I'm going to say it. You know what people have said about the wonderful home that's listening to this right down here? They said they're making money on that home. They lied. If anybody you meet said you are, tell me a lie. Don't be afraid to stand up and say you're telling a lie on the body of Christ at Holly Springs. And they said, listen, bought that radio station, and they're making money off of poor folks. Have you ever heard that? I'll guarantee you, I know radio. I don't know preaching. I don't know the Bible. I don't know a lot of things. But I've been in this thing for 50 years. I announced on the radio with WWNC before I was ever saved as a young boy. And you hear me, I want to tell you something. A man or a company has an AM station now and can pay the bills. Mister, they're doing well. You hear me? And this church didn't get into that to make money. This church had a vision. They wanted something that could go out all day long. From sun up to sundown. Oh, where you could hear the right kind of singing. There you could hear the right kind of preaching. Oh, what a blessing. But listen to me. You'll hear some other things. If you do anything else, they'll lie on you just as sure as your name's what it is. Oh, yes, they'll lie. Listen to me. And she lied. And they took him and put him in prison. And he says, going in, he saw a butler. And he said, hey, butler. He said, I want to ask you to do something for me. When you get out, remember me. And brother, he got out, and for 2 years, he didn't remember Joseph. You listen to me, Joseph sat there on that cold slab. And for 2 years, the butler forgot him. So one night, Pharaoh had a dream. You say, God can't make evil men. God make anybody he wants to do anything he wants. Hey, man, I believe that. Some of you preachers, do we feel like God is so helpless? Let me tell you, he has all power in heaven and earth. And bless God, he can make men do. And he made Pharaoh dream. You say, what did he dream? He said, take you down by the river. You're going to see seven fat cows come up out of that river. And he said, Pharaoh said, after those seven fat cows came out of that river, seven lean cows came out of that river and ate up the fat cows. And
He said, and we can't interpret that. We can't interpret that. Listen to me. Listen, I want to tell you something. He said, we can't interpret that. He said, wait a minute, I ain't told you all I dreamed yet. He said, I dreamed I went to a cornfield. And said, I dreamed there were on the stalk 7 fat ears. And he said, they had, I'm going to use what we use in Henderson County. You don't mind me doing that. They had 7 nubbins coming out of the chamber. And those nubbins ate the fat ears. And they said, Lord God, we're in a mess. Can anybody tell us what about those cows and what about those ears of corn? And that old butler said, 2 years ago, I met a man. Woo! He can give interpretation to dreams. Now, boy, this has been time. I was telling him the other night, I was in a preacher's meeting. I guess. First preacher, boy, he got up and just talked about Jesus. He talked about the blood. He talked about God and the Word of God. He exalted him. The next preacher got up for 9 or 10 minutes and blew it off and snorted and told what he'd done. I just looked down and said, God help him to realize it's all Jesus. Oh, it's not this Wade Hanley. It's the Jesus that he serves, that he's honored, that God's made this one it is. God's made this. Now you want me to say something. You watch this and make something. You watch a fellow get up first thing and tell you how many radio stations he's on. Listen to me, I'm going to tell you something. Tell you how many revivals he holds every year. You better watch that bird. Oh, he's trying to build up something. If you let an old fellow get up and say, you know, I walked that day where Jesus walked. Woo! He breathed on me. I've been where the shades of love lie deep. I've been where God is. I want to tell you, he'll bless the saints of God. And God bragged the iron 10 minutes. Boy, it just upset my wife. She said, why don't he talk about Jesus? I don't care if this church is big. I don't care if it's little, she said. I want him to preach a big Jesus. Oh, I want him to preach and exalt the Lord because he's the one that deserves all glory. But it made me sick. Now they went to Joseph. He said, hey, Joseph, do you know how to serve in rain? He said, nope. Why, every preacher I know said, yeah! I can interpret any dream. I'm a dream interpreter. But you know what Joseph said? This is what Joseph said. He said, I can't do it. He's honest with him. Before they turned around, he said, but I know God. Woo! And my God can interpret any dream! He asked God. Joseph said to the Pharaoh, he said, you dreamed, you went down to the river, and you saw 7 fat cows and 7 lean cows. Then you walked in the field of corn, and you saw 7 fat, all fat, big ears of corn, and on that stalk 7 little nubbins. The lean ate the fat, and the nubbins ate the big ears. And Joseph said, I can tell you the interpretation thereof. Joseph said, chapter 41, listen to me. Joseph gave the interpretation of the dream. Chapter 39 and 40, and he said, there'll be 7 years of plenty in Egypt. And then there'll be 7 years of famine in Egypt. And he said, you better fill the shallows and get ready for the famine that's coming after the years of plenty. And boy, that old Pharaoh was so excited. Chapter 41, it says this. I like this. And I want you to see, he made him governor of all Egypt. Oh, I see Joseph look back, and he said, I was in a pit. Woo! And all things worked together then. I was in prison for 2 years because of a lying woman, and all things worked together then. And now I'm in the palace. And it's going to work together. Aren't you glad that the Bible said, and we know that all things work together for good for those that love God? Let me come quickly to the last thing, the final things of life. We're not home yet.
old Charles there. Been a blessing. But I remember I came here and looked at Charles, and he's younger. I was here in the church behind this church 40 years ago in a meeting with M.B. Phillips. A lot of you were young, but your hair's blooming for the grave. Oh, listen, your step is getting sore. But I want you to know, the last end is the best end of it. And brother, the final things in Joseph's life were the best things. He could say just one of those things. You say, what did they do when they made him ruler? Listen what he did. He said, we're going to give you a parade. We're going to take you down the streets of Cairo. You're going to hear the shouts, Mighty Joseph. He said, I want that auctioneer to come out there and say, there's that little slave that has sold that. But he's governor of all Egypt now. You wait one day, you see old Mays, bless God. I want you to know I'll not be a little hillbilly preacher then. I'll stand over there with the righteous, and I'll be called one of the prince of God, which in Revelation we're already called princes and priests. Already, if you're saved, brother, you don't have to wait to get to heaven. But I'm glad. I imagine that auctioneer came out and said, Joseph, little did I know. And Joseph said, just one of those things. I believe that chariot rode right down. Said, where you want to go, Joseph? He said, I want you to take me down to the prison. I want that old warden to come out, the one who kicked me around for nothing. I want to go down and ride by and see those guards one more time. And I believe, brother, when that chariot passed by, that old warden got down on his knees and said, Your Honor, the governor. He looked up and said, how did it happen? He said, just one of those things. Thank God, just one of those things. Are you listening to me? Just one of those things. I believe Abel said, where are you going to go next, Joseph? They're all getting down their knees to you. He said, I'll tell you where I want to go. But I want you to take me over to Potiphar's house. Oh, I want you to take me over to Potiphar's house. I want that old wicked woman to come out on the porch and lie on me and bow when we ride by. And brother, I believe the chariot rode by. And when it rode by, that wicked woman knelt and got on. And he said, would you like to go back to the palace? And Joseph said, no. Let me out. I want to stroll down here in the fields of glory. I want to walk over the hills of God and tell him I'm ready to come on home. Brother, I believe that he left all the riches and all the pomp and all of the great majesty. And he said, I'll go down here for a while and I'll just talk it over with him. You know why he could? Because he said in chapter 50, now listen to me and I'll close. Chapter 50. The boy's got excited. His brethren said, he's going to kill us now. He's got the power. We had it one day, but he's got it now. Let me tell you something. Bless God. The devil's crowd's got it today, but we'll have it tomorrow. Oh, you don't have to worry about it. Thank God we'll have it tomorrow. You say, what happened, preacher? I believe that Joseph, standing over there, and his brother said, you read this in chapter 50. They said, he was guilty of Jesus. He'll whip us. He'll kill us! And one of them said, not only will he kill us, but said he'll abuse the children. He'll take it out on the little children. Read it before you get home. And the Bible said, Joseph came in their presence. They looked for him to strike them or have them driven off the prison. And he went over and fell on each neck and kissed them and said, you're forgiven. Papa's already gone, but you're forgiven, and it's forgotten, and it's under the blood, so to speak. And them little kids ran up there, and one of them said, watch where you slap her children. And the Bible said, Joseph, bless those children. Oh, let me tell you something.
I'm glad, mister, the final things were the greatest things. And the Bible says, after that, Joseph died. And the scripture said he's 110 years old. They embalmed him and put him in a coffin in Egypt. And you remember what I told you? The other night, that word coffin in the book of Leviticus means hope chest. They embalmed him. And they said, one day the Holy Ghost is going to open that chest. Oh, one day, listen, I put my mother in a hope chest. I put my daddy in a hope chest. And thank God, one of these mornings, let me tell you something. I'm glad the Holy Ghost is going to open those hope chests. And brother, we're going to meet in the air. What a blessing that is, and they put Joseph in the hope chest. What a blessing it is. What a wonderful thing it is. The coffins with us last night, and when mother died, I have an uncle over in Hendersonville, used to own, I guess he still does, I don't know. He's not saved. I love him. I couldn't tell you what he did for me. You wouldn't believe it if I told you what he did for me in preaching. He loves old Billy Kelly to death. He just loves old Billy. He's lost. He ran the hot spot, had the pool rooms in the back, and the Bluebird ice cream place there in Hendersonville. In the store next to him. His name is Frank Edmond. He's my uncle. And I'd go in and see Frank. Frank would say, if anybody ever leads me to God, it'll be your mama. Said, if I've ever seen a walking saint, she's one. And the night Carlton and I were standing in Shepherd's Funeral Home in Hendersonville, we were receiving friends. Frank came in. He brought from the hot spot big coffee and sandwiches. He said, Mays. I said, Frank, let me give you something for you. Open your mouth. I said, in there in that casket is your hope, he said. And she's dead. She can't pray for you anymore. I said, Frank, she can't speak to you anymore. I said, you go back and bid her farewell because you'll never want to see her again. Old Cosmet was with us there, and I found the tears that were down his cheeks. Frank Eddie went back in Shepherd's Funeral Home in Hendersonville. He backed out weeping, and he said, oh, I'd give everything I had. If I could look down someday from heaven like your mother must be doing now and see the friends that came by, I said, Frank, it's blessed. Blessed are they that die in the Lord. They have a hope that one day Jesus will fulfill it. And the hope chests will be broken open. And we'll rise to meet the everlasting for all things. Old Joseph said, you meant it for evil. You had hate. You envied me. You conspired against me. But he said, God meant it for good. He said, every step of the way, it was for good. Oh, I've been through many dangers, toils, and snares. We've already come. And all things work together for good for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. Thank God. I've been in Hickory Baptist Church in Bryson City. That's the home church of inspiration. I've been there 18 revivals. They're precious friends of mine. Now listen, they're going to be singing here one of these days. Don't you tell them what I'm going to tell you tonight. I know some of you can't wait to tell them. They got a quartet in the church that's better than they are. Called the Victory Quartet. And for 14 years, little boy, a fellow named Bill Clements, little short fellow, St. Timothy. And every year I went there, hear me, there's nobody in the church I believe loves God like Bill Clements. You say, well, but wait till I get through him. I'll see if he loves him. Every Friday night for 14 years, he prayed all night at that altar by himself for the meeting. All night long. Bill Clements was in that altar. In fact, that's your Baptist church. He'd say to me and Tom, now you get some rest. You'll need strength, Mays. You get some rest. And I'll meet you and buy you breakfast in the morning, but I'll be in this altar all night praying for you. In
then after 14 years, I got ready to go back on a Sunday afternoon after we finished the service, and I went back to change my shirt and came back. Bill was standing there, and he said, "I'm having trouble in my heart." He said, "I know you listen to a lot of records, but I've got our last album here, cassette tape, and I sing the lead on 'Oh, What a Promise. I'll meet you again someday.'" He said, "I queued it up, Mays. I queued it up to where I start singing, 'Oh, what a promise. I'll meet you in heaven someday.'" And I got down the road. I forgot about it for about 40 miles. I was going down 441. I went by Franklin. I was going down to Tocoa, Georgia. And I thought about it, and I reached over, and he had it already queued up. And I slipped it in that cassette player. And old Bill's voice was beautiful, and he was singing, "Oh, what a promise. I'll meet you again someday." 3 months later, on a Monday, my phone rang, and I picked it up, and Tom said, he said, "Tom, you was in West Virginia yesterday, but yesterday we had Bill's funeral." He said, "They honored Bill. Little humble mountain fella. Never hurt anybody. Said the balcony was filled, the downstairs was filled. Said the inspiration sang. And then said his boy got up with the Victory Quartet, and his boy took it at his place and said, 'Oh, what a promise! I'll meet you someday.'" Tom said, "That blessed me. That blessed me." And he said, when we got through saying what we had to say, and I turned it over to the mortician up in the balcony, he said, where we have our little control room, he said, when that undertaker turned that casket around, and the pallbearers started to push it, roll it out, said they put that record they had queued up with Bill. "Oh, what a promise. I'll be kidding you someday." And brother, as they rolled him out of the church, people were waving and saying, "Bill, we'll make you a promise. We'll see you in heaven someday." Oh, what a blessing to have that promise that we'll see someday. What a blessing. Ever hear about a Bible? We know all things work together. Family things. You may be having a hard time in your family tonight. I hope not. I don't gloat over somebody's boy running off. I don't glory over somebody's girl in trouble. I don't care if you're a preacher or not a preacher. I hope you don't have any family. Listen to me. But you'll have some foreign things that you can't understand. You'll lie awake at night and turn and turn and turn and say, "God, why?" And you'll have those foreign things. And then you'll have fleshly things. You say, "Not me." Yes, you will. All men are tempted.